Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is the parking lot of free speech because you sit in it trying to get an internet connection, and maybe you got the internet connection, but maybe it's going to go out on you. And that's what RBN is like. It could go out on you. You don't want it to go out on you, so go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, keep RBN going. And while you're sitting in the parking lot, you might order some food. Make sure it's not kosher certified. Get the Kosher-tified app from nationalbugle.com. Download it, because when you're watching World War III on CNN, because that's might be happening soon, and you're eating whatever takeaway food that you got, you want to make sure it's not kosher certified. So do that. All right. Actually, you're going to be eating canned food and, you know, like Tang, drinking Tang. Boomers know what I'm talking about. All right. TV dinners and Tang. That's what you're going to be drinking and eating. But make sure they're non-kosher certified. And you can do that with the Kosher Certified app. All right. We have Cato with us today. Cato, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Slattery. We made it another week of the impending war. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's come to this, you know. We start seeing, you know, more food shortages. We are, you know, price of gasoline is going to continue to go up. Who knows how long it's going to take. But, you know, the good news, though, is that the American empire is shooting itself in the foot.
It is shooting itself in the foot. Hey, by the way, speaking of empires, do you know what Tang is?
Like the Tang?
Tang.
Tang,
not a boomer. But I'm just...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a powdered orange drink.
Okay. Oh, really?
It has nothing to do with the Tang Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well,
it was developed for NASA astronauts. So they could go to the moon and still have orange drink.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
good for them.
Anyway, Murr from Wisconsin knows what I'm talking about. And so do several other people. So, shooting itself in the foot. What in the world are you talking about? How is the empire shooting itself in the foot?
Well, every time it sanctions Russia... Russia's not the one that's getting affected. It's the empire that's getting affected. With because Russia, they've already calculated everything. They've already foresaw this. They knew this was going to happen. So obviously, if they didn't think it was worth it, if they knew that the sanctions would hurt Russia a lot, they wouldn't have done it. But they already foresaw everything, and they've already made all their preps and, you know, preparations to ensure that they're not affected by these American sanctions. Rather, it's the American colony, or the colonies of the American empire, that have been affected by it the most. You know, rising gas prices, you know, rising food prices, inflation, you know, upcoming food shortages, you know, however drastic that will be. It's the empire, and also we're seeing, you know, just these past 2 weeks, many of these other countries, these non-Western countries, have been moving away from the United States and moving closer toward Russia and China. You know, just this week, the foreign minister Wang Yi went to India as a surprise visit to, you know, talk to the foreign minister to discuss how they're going to handle the Ukraine and discuss their relations with Russia and. So- India and China, India, which used to be, you know, probably because they were so dependent on foreign aid, a vestige of the American empire against China, but that is changing fast.
I don't know if I'd call it maybe a vestige of the American empire. I mean, historically, during the Cold War, India actually sided with the Soviet Union. They were closer to the Soviet Union. But there's a lot of politics going on there, and the China-India relationship is really, really interesting. And by the way, you know, you said that Russia knew what was going to happen. Well, I mean, I don't know if they knew what was going to happen, but they were certainly preparing for the worst. And they had prepared for these sanctions. They've been subjected to sanctions for 14 years, and especially these past 8 years been increased. And even under Trump, I mean, Trump brags that nobody was tougher on Russia. Trump was elected to make friends with Russia, but now he can say nobody was tougher on Russia than Trump, which is unfortunate. But at any rate, you can see what the BRICS countries had done. BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and then the S at the end is South Africa, which is sometimes in, sometimes out. It's not nearly as important. But, there had been at least the groundwork of creating alternatives to a lot of these financial structures, such as the SWIFT system. So there was a lot of groundwork. Yes?
Oh, yes. Okay. It's poor connection.
Okay, poor connection. Sorry about that. Well, anyway, we do what we can do. And China and India have had bad relations ever since, well, I guess the independence of India and the establishment of the PRC. There are little border demarcation issues. And they've been, at times, there's been a little bit of shooting. Not massive shooting, but a little bit of shooting. And so it's very significant that the Wang Yi, the foreign minister of China, would go to India, and that they're on the same side of this. It's extremely significant. What it's showing is a realignment of international politics, a complete realignment. And like I said, in the Cold War, India was aligned more with this. It wasn't exactly in the Soviet orbit, but it purchased its weaponry from the Soviet Union. Why? Well, its main rival was Pakistan, and Pakistan was much more an American client state. And so India and the Soviet Union had a relationship. Although in recent years, and I know you're a more recent person than I am, Cato, India was getting more into that whole Zio orbit. They were establishing good relations with Israel. And the United States even ignored the Non-Proliferation Treaty and engaged in nuclear cooperation with India, which has developed nuclear weapons outside the structures of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. So it is really important. And so you're getting this big realignment of politics. The last thing I'm going to say, people look at economies, and there's different ways of measuring the economy, and you can use the GDP, just GDP. And in that case, Russia's like number 11. But another way of looking at it is called purchasing price parity, where you adjust the GDP according to how much things really cost. And I remember as a young man traveling around the world, and if you wanted a haircut in Japan, it would be $20. If you wanted a haircut in Poland, it would be 20 cents. And, maybe the Japanese haircut might have been a little bit better. They'd probably wash your hair, and maybe they weren't washing your hair in Poland. But the thing is, prices are very, very different in different countries. And so prices are a lot lower in Russia. And what you can do with those rubles goes a lot farther. And so if you factor in the cost of things and how much actual stuff can be gotten for that GDP, that's purchasing price parity. Well, in that case, China is significantly, it's like already like 20% bigger than the United States, because your money goes farther in China. So China's number one, United States is number two, India is number three, according to purchasing price parity. I guess in Japan, Germany, and Russia would be number six. And so if you've got Russia, India, and China, the number one, number three, and number six economies, and they're economically at least allied together, and not participating in sanctions. And in fact, then who are those sanctions going to impact? And you said America and the American Empire and its colonies, and that I think that's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. And you said the other ones, or Germany, Japan, and the U.S. You said number two.
So number two, number four, number five would be United States at number two, Japan at number four, and Germany at number five.
Oh, absolutely. In that case, it would be. They would be hard pressed to compete against China, India, and Russia, because China, India, and Russia are much bigger too than the Germany and United States, Germany and Japan. Well, the United States is bigger than Russia, but China and India are bigger than the United States. So,
in terms of population, you look at the economics, okay? And okay, so what is our GDP? So the GDP is the sum of all goods and services produced in a country. In the United States, we've got what's called a service-based economy. We're not an agricultural economy. We do a lot of agriculture, but we're not industrial. I mean, we're a service-based economy. Well, what are the services? Like, you can't export haircuts, right?
Yeah.
You can't. But, you know, the agriculture or the mining, your primary goods you can export, your manufacturing goods you can export. You know, maybe you can export like financial services. Maybe you can export like customer service for AT&T, things like that. I mean, those things. But in general, services can't be exported. And the services. So, like, look at all of the services that are done in the United States that really are not nearly as valuable as their price tag would indicate. You know, Starbucks. I mean, look how much Starbucks is a lot of money, and how valuable is that really? You know, like a lot of our economy is just kind of superfluous stuff. All the consulting that we do in the United States, I mean, just so many things we do is really superfluous, whereas the economic activity in Russia, China, and India is more likely to be connected to like real national power. That's the essence of what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's based on real goods as opposed to, you know, just fluff, which is what the American economy is based on, not to mention the fiat currency underneath it.
Mm-hmm. You know, like GDP, I used to say, if you have like one woman and she goes to work at a child care center and takes care of another woman's child, and then that other woman goes to a different child care center and takes care of the first woman's child, that's going to create GDP, because these women are getting paid. They're paying each other, but that's money that's changing hands. That counts to the GDP. If they stayed home and took care of their own children, it wouldn't contribute to the GDP. But actually, it would be better for society than taking care of each other's children. And so, it's just so much of what we do really doesn't contribute to any kind of national strength. And I don't know, just think of people you know and the jobs they do, and you can probably find a lot of examples. Well, I look at our criminal justice system. 1/6 of our economy is in healthcare, and you know, you can't really export the healthcare. I mean, you can export pharmaceuticals and all, but you know, and while we 1/6 of our economy is wrapped up in healthcare. And are we even living longer than the Chinese? I don't even think we are at this point. What are we getting out of it? Are we healthier?
Over a bunch of overweight, fat Americans everywhere. It's Americans are not healthy people at all. So, and not to mention, too, a lot of our economy, too, is also based on, you know, the prison industrial complex, private prisons.
Hmm.
And another aspect, too, so... Yeah, I mean, we're, America's toast.
And I don't mean to, like, keep on this, but in a typical city, the bulk of the public sector spending at that level is going to be for public schools, right? So we're spending an enormous amount of money on on so-called education, whether you're talking about public schools, whether you're talking about an awful lot of what goes on in the universities. I mean, some of it's really important at the universities, but a lot of it's not, and a lot of it's destructive. So all that money going into education in the United States, that pushes the GDP way up. Are we getting anything of value of it?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, it's that's just the truth. I mean, people don't want to hear this. People don't want to hear that America's finished, but it's just the truth. And really the best thing we can do at this point is to make sure it doesn't take down the whole world with it as it goes down. So that, the whole world has a chance. But America's finished one way or another.
Yeah, it's just one more point on the economics. John Maynard Keynes, who is, he's the father of Keynesian economics. John Maynard Keynes, he was, actually one of the architects of the post-World War II economic order. And he famously once said, you can stimulate the economy by paying one person to dig a ditch and paying another person to put the dirt back in the hole, right? I mean, and so that pushes up the GDP. If you're spending money on paying people to dig ditches and then other people to fill in the ditches, you really have to think, what are people doing in the United States that is contributing to the national strength? And so much of what we do is just consumption. I mean, we eat food. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of mouths to feed in China and in India. And so maybe, you might be able to say, well, a lot of their GDP is just going to feed and clothe and house their own people and not contribute to some sort of national strength that can be projected. That's a valid point. But just like what we do, our numbers are pushed way high by consumption and by this stuff. Okay, I don't want to dwell on it. Any last thoughts before we move on?
Basically, the only way an economy can survive is if it's self-sustaining and self-reliant, meaning production of actual goods, not, fluff. So, anyway... That's about it for that.
Yeah, and so the United States has for, I guess the last time we had a trade surplus, was it in the 1970s? We've been like, I think it was around the 1970s the last time we had a trade surplus. And we're, most countries wouldn't be able to get away with decade after decade after decade of giant trade deficits. We can because we have a reserve currency. The other main countries really can't do that. I don't know what other country is just having trade deficit year after year for the way we have been. And that's going to come to an end. And the United States, this war and the sanctions against Russia, especially against the central bank and seizing its foreign reserves, is a lot of people are warning that this is going to destroy the dollar as a reserve currency, which in the long run might be a good thing. But we're up at the first break. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back. All right, let's go to the articles. What is the first article you have for us, Cato?
All right, so other than the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi making a surprise visit to India, he has also been this week taking a tour of all the Islamic countries. And this is from CGTN. Wang Yi: China supports Islamic countries in taking their own development paths. Chinese State Councilor and Foreign Minister Wang Yi on Tuesday called on China and Islamic countries to firmly support each other in taking development paths in line with their own national conditions and in safeguarding the legitimate rights and interests of developing countries. Wang made the remarks at the 48th session of the Council of Foreign Ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, which was held in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad, from Tuesday to Wednesday. It was the first time for a Chinese foreign minister to attend the OIC session. This fully reflects the sincere desire of China and the Islamic world to strengthen exchanges and cooperation, which will certainly promote the relations between the two sides to a new level, stressed Wang, who attended on the invitation of the organization. Noting that Chinese civilization and Islamic civilization are both ancient civilizations with significant global influence, the Chinese foreign minister said bilateral friendly exchanges with a deep historical background and a solid public foundation have withstood changes in the international landscape. Friendship is the mainstream of relations between the two sides. Equality is the basis of mutual interaction, and win-win is the goal of mutual cooperation, Wang pointed out. He added that China and the Islamic world have found a way for civilizations to live together in friendship and win-win cooperation. setting a good example of fostering a new type of international relations and providing useful experience on how different countries and civilizations should interact. Amid a turbulent and changing world, China is willing to work with Islamic countries to advocate genuine multilateralism, not multiculturalism, multilateralism, safeguard the purposes and principles of the UN Charter, maintain the international system with the UN at its core, and stand together on the road to national rejuvenation, Wang stressed. He urged the two sides to firmly support each other in safeguarding their own sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity. China and Islamic countries should be partners in development and revitalization, Wang said, adding the two sides should unite against the COVID-19 pandemic and strengthen the docking of their development strategies. The Chinese foreign minister also voiced support for Islamic countries to use Islamic wisdom to solve current hotspot issues, such as Palestine, Afghanistan, and Ukraine issues. China will continue to stand firmly by the side of the Palestinian people. Now, this is important right here. This is what Wang Yi said. He said, China will continue to stand firmly by the side of the Palestinian people and support the early convening of a more authoritative and representative international peace conference on the basis of a two-state solution so as to promote a comprehensive and just solution to the Palestinian issue, Wang said. On the Afghan issue, he said the Chinese side respects the choice made by Afghan people and supports Afghanistan in achieving inclusive governance and sound government. As for the Ukraine crisis, Wang reiterated that China supports Russia and Ukraine to continue talks that will produce results and lead to peace, adding it is important to prevent a humanitarian disaster and to avoid a spillover of the crisis that would harm and affect the legitimate rights and interests of other regions and countries. Islamic countries should keep the key to maintaining stability and promoting peace firmly in their own hands, Wang said. Wang added, he called for advocating the shared human values of peace, development, equity, justice, democracy, and freedom, not liberal democracy, democracy. Wang also voiced firm opposition to drawing ideological lines, the concept of cultural superiority or the class of civilizations theory, and attempts to distort and discredit non-Western civilizations. He urged efforts to deepen cooperation on preventative counterterrorism and de-extremism, saying the two sides should reject double standards in counterterrorism and exposed linking terrorism to specific nationalities and religions. History has proved and will continue to prove that China is a sincere friend and partner of the Islamic world, Wang noted, adding China is ready to work with Islamic countries to make remitting efforts to build a community with a shared future for mankind.
Well, okay, now that's all very interesting. One thing is, okay, so this took place in Islamabad, Pakistan, the capital of Pakistan. And this is the Council of Islamic Countries. What was the name of the organization?
The OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation.
Okay. And so they weren't all jumping on Wang Yi's case about the Uyghurs?
No, not even one. There wasn't even any mention. Not a single mention of it.
Yeah. And one thing that's interesting, Islamabad, look on a globe or a map, and you'll find that Islamabad's really, what is it? Islamabad's maybe a couple hundred miles at most from the Chinese border. It's very close to China. Wang didn't have to go very far afield to get there. And, you know, you look at like the Belt and Road Initiative and, you know, Pakistan, like, right? This is the Hindu Kush Mountains up there. It's not nearly as big as tall as the Himalayas. It's kind of an extension of them, but they're just not as big. And there is an awful lot of trading routes that can go through there. But we're up at the break. We'll get back to this
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back. So just finishing up kind of on the geography there. So you've got this area around the Hindu Kush Mountains where China, and not so much Tibet, but more the Xinjiang region, which is a plateau. Tibet's a plateau too, but it's very, very mountainous and it's much higher. Xinjiang is lower. You've got, and the Hindu Kush Mountains, you've actually got a lot of people. There are a lot of major cities. And so you've got Lahore, which is one of the, or Lahore, how do you pronounce it? It's one of the biggest cities in Pakistan. You've got Islamabad, which is the capital. You go a little bit farther north, and you've got Dushanbe, which is the capital of Tajikistan. You've got Samarkand, which is a city in Uzbekistan. Then you've got Tashkent, which is a big city in Uzbekistan. And Uzbekistan's got a pretty decent-sized population. So you've got these countries, and, you know, they're just like along the Hindu Kush mountain ridge, just on the other side of the Hindu Kush mountains, you got China. And these are all areas, these are all countries and cities that could very easily be integrated into like a Chinese economic sphere. And of course, some of them were former Soviet republics, you know, Tashkent, that was in the Soviet Union. And finding is it looks like the international trade, like the main axis of international trade, which I guess had been the Atlantic Ocean for some centuries, and it looked like it was going to be the Pacific Ocean. All of a sudden, now it looks like it's going back to the Silk Road, with these continental Eurasian countries, Russia, China, India, Pakistan, and, you know, others, Bangladesh or, you know, the Central Asian countries, Iran, really very easily connected by land routes, by rail routes, trucking routes. And I think you've got the potential for just a massive massive and fairly rapid transformation of the world economy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what's significant about this too, I mean, this is another piece of, you know, this is another event that furthers the death of liberalism, of liberal imperialism or liberal hegemony. Because in the 90s, all these you know, New World Order liberal academics, you know, the way they were talking was, well, the three main civilizational spheres that, you know, stand in the way of liberalism taking over the world is Russia, you know, or Eurasia, China, and the Islamic world.
Mm.
Now we're seeing the three of them cooperate with each other against this big, bad, evil empire of liberalism.
Mm.
So this is even further proof and furthering along the line the end of liberalism. So this is really significant.
It is. And, you know, if you look at the map from Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations, and I know Andrew Anglin was talking about it over the past month at some point. He had 8 world civilizations. And so you had, like, what did he call it? The Western Christendom or something. But of course, it's not Christian. It's anti-Christian. But, you know, North America, Western Europe, or most of Europe, right? And Australia, you know, New Zealand, Canada, as being a, you know, one civilization. And then there's a Orthodox Slavic civilization, which is pretty much Russia. And then you had China's civilization, the Islamic civilization. You had like a Latin American civilization, African civilization. Those two are big, but they're not that important. He had a Hindu civilization, which was pretty much just India. He had a Japanese civilization, like the Chinese civilization or the Sino civilization. Maybe he called it a Buddhist civilization. He threw in Vietnam and Korea and maybe something else with that same. In that same civilization with China. I'm not looking at the map currently, but that's my recollection. And then they had Japan all by itself. Well, you know, one thing, there is a lot of talk, not so much in the Japanese mainstream, like on their network TVs, but on YouTube channels that still haven't been taken down. There's talk that it's time for Japan to just wake up. You know, there's a reporter for... He was the New York correspondent or Washington correspondent, I guess, for one of their big TV networks. Name is Yamaguchi. What's his first name? It's something Yoshizuke or something. Yamaguchi, and he was saying that you look at what's going on in Ukraine, and the Japanese government and the Japanese media is simply just parroting whatever gets said by the United States in particular, or France and Canada and England. But these countries, these are NATO countries. These are parties to the conflict. Japan's not a party to the conflict. And so it should, you know, it's not a party to the conflict. It should try to look at things objectively. And when you look at things objectively, you see that there was massive provocation of Russia, whether you want to say the invasion's justified or not. It was certainly provoked. And, you know, it's really time for the Japanese to just wake up and, you know, assess things for themselves and take an independent line. That could happen.
Yeah, it's time that Japan, you know, pursue its own destiny independent of the Americans. Because it's gone to the point, like, But that's the thing. It's like you're seeing the three bulwarks against liberalism, liberal hegemony. Yeah, China, Russia, and the Islamic world. And in the 90s, you know, Russia was very, very weak. China was, you know, very much developing, and China was people, the liberals at the Western liberals at the time thought, oh, China would, you know, when they develop more, they'll understand that liberalism's the way. But that didn't happen. And in Russia, they never thought Russia would bounce back, but it happened. And in the 90s, their main focus was on the Islamic world, because the Islamic world was the most stubborn, and conforming to liberalism. So liberalism had to be militarily imposed on the Islamic world, but that failed. I mean, it was awful, and there was a lot of casualties, but that failed. And now we're seeing the three civilizational spheres coming together in cooperation against the American Empire. And you know, more of these spheres are going to start to wake up. And yeah, if Japan wakes up, you know, India is already somewhat waking up. You know, they're already becoming friendlier with China.
And remaining friendly with Russia.
Yeah, remaining friendly with Russia. So more, it's only, you know, these Western, these formerly Christian countries, you could say, that have been, you know, occupied by, you know, Jewish power.
And actually, that's a really good phrase, formerly Christian countries. I don't know. I don't think I've heard anybody say that, but that's what we're talking about. Formerly Christian countries.
Yeah, they're formerly Christian. Yeah, they're you know, these non-Christian countries, these non-Christian civilizational spheres have more in common with the, you know, traditional fundamental Christianity than does the West today. I mean, it's just so obvious, you know, because these other civilizations, they have morality. The West does not. The West is all about global homo gay anal degeneracy.
So I don't know if it's Wang Yi or someone else. Maybe it's one of his deputy. I guess it's one of the deputy foreign ministers has tweeted out a map, and it says when America or Washington talks about the international community, this is who they're talking about. And it's a map of the world, except all of the land areas have been deleted with the exception of the formerly Christian countries plus Japan.
Yeah, that was the foreign minister spokesman, Zhao Lijian, who tweeted that.
Yeah.
North America, the U.S. and Canada, Western Europe and NATO, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. I don't know why Japan's there, but I guess
Japan's in there. No, but Japan goes along. Japan, since World War II, has not had an independent foreign policy. It has had a relatively independent economic policy. But in general, they followed American foreign policy. There were some differences. They had a PLO office in Tokyo. They continued to buy Iranian oil. There was a few minor things when it really came down to Japan securing oil resources. There was a few minor deviations from American foreign policy, but in general, Japan has not had a foreign policy. It's just defaulted to America. And although it's economic policy, you know, they pursued a more kind of a combination of export orientation and import substitution. It was a very mercantilistic kind of economic policy until their population got too old to work. And now, like everyone else, they are relying on a lot of imports from China. But they have not had an independent foreign policy, and yet there is a strain in Japan. You'll see it. Like the reporter I was talking about. But I saw a movie a few years ago, on an airplane. That's where I watch my movies. And there was a Japanese movie with it was about a guy who went back to the 1990s. There was a time machine. It was in a washing machine. Like, he fell into a washing machine. It spun him around. And when he got out of the washing machine, he was in the 1990s, or maybe the late 1980s. And it was about the so-called bubble economy. And because the Japanese markets were really, real estate market, stock market, everything was booming in the late 80s. And then all of a sudden, 1990 happened, and the plug got pulled out. And I don't remember a whole lot. Maybe I didn't understand a whole lot, but one of the interesting things was towards the end of the movie, they showed a room where the people who were planning the demise of the of the Japanese economy were doing their scheming. And it was large. It was, there were some Japanese there, but they were foreigners. And then there was somebody who was dressed up to make to look like some sort of Orthodox Jewish rabbi. He had the earlocks and everything, and he was like very central to it. And so, you know, that was, it was kind of crude, but it, there is a very definite tradition in Japan to question what's going on with the Jews, right? There is this, and there's a new party that's being formed in Japan of serious people. They like, it's new. They don't have any. They haven't run in any elections yet, but it seems like it has some serious people, and they are. They're questioning this relationship with the United States. They're questioning the whether Russia's really the bad guy in this, and you got people associated with it who are noticing that Victoria Nuland and all these, and Antony Blinken and so many of these people are Jews, and Zelensky and all these. There's a lot of noticing that's starting to go on, and how far it'll go, I don't know.
So do they talk a lot about Jews in Japan?
More than in the United States, and that's because, of course, in the United States, if you talk about Jews, you get swatted down really promptly. So you're not hearing it, as far as I can tell, you're not hearing it in the mainstream, but you're hearing it in, like, big YouTube channels that have hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's certain things that they do, I think, to get around it. So they'll have, I don't know, I've seen things where They're bleeping out certain sensitive words, and then they have written on the screen, bleep equals such and such. So, I don't remember if it was with Jew or it was with something else, but it's like they were bleep, and there was all these bleeps, and then I looked at the screen and it says bleep equals such and such word. So they're trying to get, I guess, the algorithms for Japanese YouTube aren't as strict or whatever. They're still managing to stay afloat, but it's not going to last long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
funny, Japan doesn't have like their own alternative to YouTube. And this is the thing: in the 80s, in the 90s, even Japan had alternatives for everything. So if the United States came up with CompuServe wasn't just allowed to provide services in Japan. There was a different company called NiftyServe, which was a Japanese company, and it was nifty. And you know, the Japanese, if, like, for instance, when the Japanese always wanted to have their own products. They didn't want to import. And when AIDS first came out, the Japanese refused to import the early HIV testing kits because they wanted to make their own. And in the meantime, a lot of Japanese hemophiliacs came down with AIDS because Japan used a lot of imported blood, unfortunately. But yes, you know, that's their thing, that they like to make their own stuff, or they at least traditionally did. But it's odd that they're really dependent on it's, and you know, there's Amazon in the United States. They have something. What is it called? They've got like an alternative to Amazon. I can't remember what it's called. It'll come to me later. But they don't have their own alternative to Google. They don't have their own alternative to Facebook. They don't have their own alternative to YouTube, which is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe they're not allowed to. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, they could. It's, but, you know, the Japanese have a very aging society, and they're not having babies, and you know, it's not entirely because of the Jews. There's other things that are going on, but you know, they are very, very vulnerable. They don't have mass immigration. They do have immigration. It's not massive yet, but of course, we didn't start off with mass immigration immediately after 1965. It took a while to build up to the massive levels. And so they're very vulnerable. So is Korea. But anyway, we're up at the break. So we're going to be back after these important commercial messages.
Obstürmt oder schneit, und die Sonne uns sagt, der Tag blühe weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur ist unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn. Es braucht unser Panzer im Sturm wieder.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are back, and I understand you have a little more on Wang Yi's visit to India, or no, his visit to India.
Yeah. Wang Yi
is Pakistan before.
Yeah. Basically, this is put out by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the People's Republic of China. Wang Yi meets with National Security Advisor Ajit Doval of India. March 25, 2022, local time, State Councilor and Foreign Minister Wang Yi met with National Security Advisor Ajit Doval of India, New Delhi, during his working visit to India. Wang Yi said, as the two largest developing countries and representatives of emerging economies, China and India should walk steadily on the path that the two countries have chosen, keep the development of bilateral relations on the right course, bear in mind a long-term perspective, and join hands and make respective contributions to peace and stability in the region beyond. To this end, Wang Yi put forward a three-point approach. First, both sides viewed bilateral relations from a long-term perspective, adhered to the strategic judgment made by the leaders of two countries that China and India pose no threat, but offer development opportunities to each other and place the differences of the boundary issue in a proper place in bilateral relations. Second, both sides view each other's development with a win-win mentality and forge a sound interaction model as to achieve mutual benefit and win-win results at a higher level and wider range. Third, both sides should participate in a multilateral process with cooperative posture, step up communication and coordination, support each other, and more send more positive signals for upholding multilateralism and injecting more positive energy into improving global governance. So, those were basically the three things that came out of that meeting.
So, you know, we've been looking at, I mean, eyes have been focused on Russia, and I've been talking a lot about Russia for obvious reasons, but there, to have a rapprochement between China and India, it's massive. Because these are countries that not too long ago, you know, there were thoughts that you could see a nuclear war between them. They both have nuclear weapons, and there was a little bit of shooting here and there in some of these, you know, we're not talking about huge regions, but there's border demarcation issues, and there was some border skirmishes. And to have them have more or less normalized relations, that's massive for world politics.
Another loss for the American empire.
Yeah, it's a loss for the American empire, and for a multipolar world. If for instance, both India and China started, I mean, India and Japan started being a little bit more independent, then, you know, this idea that you've got a unipolar world around United States or even around NATO, it goes out the window. And of course, the policies pursued in these formerly Christian countries these are policies that don't create national strength, right? I mean, diversity isn't these countries' strength, right?
No,
it's these countries' demise.
No, multiculturalism is a demise. Multilateralism is a strength.
Yeah,
respect each other's sovereign civilizations and territories.
All right, well, we are coming up at the end of the show. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, hopefully we'll make it another week. We've already this is our fourth show since the Russia-Ukraine thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's good so far.
Yeah, we're doing okay so far. Hopefully we make it another week.
Yeah, 4 weeks in a row of not dying in a nuclear war. What more can you ask for? All right, well, thank you.
I know, right?
Thank you, Cato.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to
here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.